Well, good morning. Welcome back again. Thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship. And also thank you, Nigel, for sorting out the technical stuff for these recordings. Much appreciated. While we're on the subject of thanks, thank you to all those that are calling on others and ringing around and just being mindful and courteous. It's a good thing, isn't it? It's been quite a few weeks now where we haven't been able to meet together. And I don't know about you, but where is the time going? So thank you once again. And if anyone has any prayer requests, then please let us know. If you need a visit, then we'll social distance and we'll take the appropriate precautions with masks, gloves and sanitizers and all the rest. We'll make sure that you're safe and we're safe. But we are here to serve one another, even though church as we know it is different. Okay, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to look at the subject of spiritual warfare. And it's a subject that I wanted to give some time to. I've asked Mike to do some research for me, and some of the thoughts that I've had and when I look through scripture, I want to make sure it's balanced and it's weighed up against scripture. So I've asked Mike to be that person for me, that go-to person that I can verify things with, and we make sure we're on the right track. When it comes to warfare, we know about the natural worldly warfare, and when it comes to spiritual warfare, I want to say one or two things right from the start, because when I was a young Christian, obviously I was influenced by certain leaders, certain media profiles, certain books that I listened to, and I didn't know at the time that some of the things that I was listening to was actually contrary to God's word. And one of those things is this, and you may already know this, but it's worth me repeating because I want to be a bit methodical in this first session before I go into some of the other areas of spiritual warfare and some of the challenges that we all find ourselves in as Christians, followers of Christ. And one of the things that I want to say to us, that scripture tells us that we cannot be possessed by an evil spirit if we are a Christian, because if we belong to Jesus Christ, we've been born again of his spirit. The Bible says that Christ, through his spirit, dwells in us. Well, if Christ is in us, and if he inhabits his space, then the demonic can't. That's as simple as that. And we'll look at these things as we go through. But I just wanted to say that right at the beginning. Now, the thing is, we can be oppressed by evil spirits. We can be oppressed by the world. We can be influenced by things around us, natural and supernatural. We can be influenced. We're not immune to hardships, are we? We're not immune to wrong thoughts and bad attitudes. We're not immune to those things. And although we are susceptible to being oppressed at times by the enemy, there are also times where we do things ourselves that cause ourselves to be in pain. We can be disrespectful. We can be those that are not mindful to what God says. And we don't have to attribute every bad thing to the devil having a go. Because sometimes it's, for me, it's my own stupidity. It's my own weaknesses. So maybe it's the same for you at times. There's been things that you've done and there's been consequences. With our actions, there are always consequences, aren't there? But just to say right at the beginning, once again, as Christians, you cannot be possessed, but you can be oppressed. Now, we all want to look at spiritual warfare, and I want to look at one or two things. And in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, well, maybe we'll start at verse 3. It says this, "For though we live in the world," and that's the natural things around us, "we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world." So the weapons that we're using here aren't rifles and grenades. They're not hammers and bats. They're not the weapons that the world uses. It's a different type of weapon that we use as Christians. And that's what I want to focus on for these next couple of weeks as we go forward. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons that we have, it says, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So if we just pause for a moment and look at a stronghold, if we look in the Oxford Dictionary, it says this, a stronghold, it's a noun, a place that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack. So that can have a positive and a negative effect for a Christian. So when we talk about powers to demolish strongholds, they're not the strongholds that are the good strongholds, they're the strongholds in our lives that where the enemy has got hold of something and it's become a stronghold. It's been something we can't shake. It can be an addiction, it can be an attitude, it can be lots of different things, and we'll explore that as we go along in, over these next few weeks. So maybe there's a stronghold in your life. Well, the good news is that the weapons God's given us will destroy those strongholds. And maybe as we go along, we can identify some of the possible strongholds in my life and in your life. And it goes on in verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So when we're talking about warfare, it's not just about seeing a potential enemy like the evil one. It says we can demolish arguments. And sometimes arguments, disagreements can become strongholds. Disagreements can become those things that start off very small but end up very big. It says in every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought. We take captive every thought. And when you think about taking something captive, a person or that has been a prisoner or an animal that has been confined. So when we think about being in captivity, we think about being under bondage, don't we? Well, the good news is that Jesus has come to set us free from that bondage. So we need to understand the principles behind spiritual warfare. We need to understand what the Word says about us and our walk. We need to understand what the world says about us. We need to understand the weapon that we're actually using. So we take captive every thought. And that's what I want to speak about today, the thoughts, the things that we think about. And I've got a dictionary in front of me, and that's why I keep looking down. It says, thought, an idea, an opinion, a product by thinking, and a suddenly that comes in the mind, a thought. The Bible talks about here that the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds, arguments that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, to take captive every thought. So I want to speak about spiritual warfare, and I want to speak about our thoughts for today. I have a few scriptures I want to go through, and I'm going to read them and just bring out one or two things and set the scene as we go forward into this study. Is that okay? Thank you. In Genesis 3, so we're going to start at the beginning. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, this is the serpent, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Did God really say? And for me and you, that's the question that the enemy has been posing to us ever since we got saved. That's one of the tactics of the evil one. He can't possess us because we belong to God, but he can constantly be planting thoughts in our minds. So if we take the spiritual and the natural, so let's take the natural. There's something that you do that you've had a thought, and it's been a good thought. You don't need to take that thought captive. You don't need to lock it up in the sense that it's not going to do you any harm. But you have a thought, and then the enemy comes along and say, did God really say that to you? It's that natural that becomes the supernatural. So God asks you to do something. Your thoughts come into motion, and you start to plan out in your mind what it is you want to do. Did God really say? When it comes to lots of things in the world today, when it comes to our sexuality, when it comes to our heritage, when it comes to our eternal resting place, the devil will continue to say to you and me, did God really say? So it's important. So right at the beginning of this series of messages, I want to say yet again that the answer is Christ. The answer is God's word. We're washed by the word of God. We're cleansed, we're clothed, we're set apart, we've been released from the bondage of sin. No longer are we slaves to sin, but we're slaves to righteousness. But the enemy will always try to rob, steal and destroy. That's what the Bible says. So I want to encourage you today to just think about these things. Now, they may not be mind-blowing to you. It may be simple. But I believe that there's a time coming that which is these last days, where the Bible says that we will see lawlessness. And there are things in the media at the moment, and things that we watch on TV, and things that people say that we could so easily go, well, I kind of understand. Well, if it's breaking the law, it's breaking the law. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And the enemy will always, always try to rob, steal and destroy for me and you. So we're in a battle, but we're not using the weapons that other people use in the world. We're using the spiritual weapons. The weapon, when you think about where the Bible tells us to put on the full armour of God, and we'll go through that during this series as well. Even though they're concepts that you've understood, it's for such a time as this. The Word of God, the Bible, is a sword of the Spirit, isn't it? That's the weapon that we use. We don't use a natural sword, we use a spiritual sword. So we're talking about a spiritual warfare in this present age. I hope that is clear. But like I said, in Genesis, the evil one, the enemy, Satan, he says, did God really say? And I want us to be on our guard against the devil's schemes. Like I said, there's some things that are so subtle. And it's worth saying this. When you see images of Satan, when you see images of the occult, when you see the demonic pictured in the world, it's always gruesome, isn't it? It's always a picture of a horned, red individual with a long tail and maybe fire and brimstone all around. That's not the case. Actually, the devil prowls around as an angel of light, looking for that which he may deceive. The enemy looks just like me and you. That's the deception. So we need to be very clear, church, that we are rooted in the Word of God, that we are building our lives on the foundation. That's why during this time that I have an opportunity to speak to you from home, I want to equip you for such a time as this. Because all around us we're seeing mixed messages, but the message of the gospel is the same, yesterday, today and forever, because Jesus does not change. So spiritual warfare. In Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity, this is God speaking, I will put enmity between you and the woman, Adam and Eve, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. We're talking about Adam and Eve and Satan here. We're talking about this enmity, this war that will go on. And right from the beginning, right from the fall, there's been an enemy of mankind, and that's Satan himself. And Satan has been trying to rob and steal the goodness that God wants to give you and wants to give me. So we're talking about warfare. And I'm going to repeat myself, because in this session, rather than just preach a message that has step one, step two, step three, I want to give you the answer right at the beginning. The answer is Christ Jesus. The answer is his word. The answer is worship. The answer is prayer. The answer is what God says about you in his word. The answer is yes and amen. But we need to understand the amen. In Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, God says, until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. There's a war going on in the natural. We've got to fight for everything now. God was gracious to us in the beginning, but because of the fall, because of disobedience, we now need to fight for our food. We need to fight for our sanity. We need to fight against the enemy that is out there to rob and steal. So the question that the enemy will ask you, and when I say the enemy, I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about Beelzebub. I'm talking about the enemy of God and God's people. Did God really say? Did God really say? In Ephesians 6, verse 12, and going on for a few scriptures, it says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And it's easy, isn't it, to get frustrated with the driver in front, when they stop too quickly or they don't indicate when they turn left or right. It's so easy to get annoyed with somebody, an individual, another human being, male, female, old or young, when they say something that you don't like or I don't like. It's so easy, isn't it, to struggle with authorities when they ask us to do things that we don't want to do. But the Bible is clear. Our struggle, and when you talk about struggle, it's a wrestling. It's not just, you know, that's a small thing. A struggle is when you tussle with something. It's like a tug of war. You're struggling to get the rope over to your side. It takes work. It takes effort. It says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is this. Flesh and blood. It's not against humanity. And the enemy wants us to fight each other. The church has been doing that ever since the conception, fighting each other. But that's what the enemy wants. But we're to care for one another. We're to correct one another, direct one another, without being offended all the time. But we are those that are in a struggle, but it's not against flesh and blood. It goes on to say, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now this portion of scripture, I'll read it again, because it tells us that there's a spiritual realm. When we think about God, when we think about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we have a heavenly perspective, don't we? It's a supernatural power. Well, there's still a supernatural power in the heavenlies. The demonic power is still there working. Remember, if you read Revelation, the answer to all the question is we win. So we know that God's coming back for a victorious bride. But from the meantime, in the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega, that's Christ. But in that meantime that we live in today, there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a battle, but it's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. So let's be mindful of that. The powers and principalities are not always subtle, and they're not always in your face. So we need to be on our guard all the time. Not fearful, but full of faith, knowing that God protects us. Doesn't he? He hedges his people. He covers us by his blood. That's why we need to know his word. For our struggle, it says in Ephesians 6:12, is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world. This dark world, it's not something that's out there, that's far away, it's close. It's here, it's now. This dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil. So we're not talking about forces that are not evil, we're talking about evil forces that are out to rob, steal and destroy. And the evil forces, they do that in a very subtle way at times. And one of those ways is by getting you to question God's word. Did God really say? Did God really say? Therefore, put on the armour of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. I'll look at that another time. God has already given us everything we need to fight this battle. So when the enemy comes and he says, did God really say? You need to know your word, understand your word, and be able to answer, yes, God did say. Or no, God didn't say. Because the enemy's out there to try and trick us, to try and rob us, and try and deceive us. In Romans 28, it says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, there's times where we can stand and be honest to each other and honest to our reflection when we speak to ourselves in the mirror. That sometimes it doesn't seem good, does it? But scripture is true. God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In verse 30 it says this, and those he predestined he also called, and those he called he also justified, and those he justified he also glorified. Then it goes on to say that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So when the enemy says to you, did God really say, understand your scripture. Come back. Don't just put it on the shelf, because he'll keep saying it and saying it and saying it. And then he'll use a different tactic. He'll bring a friend or a colleague, or you'll listen to a minister on the radio or on YouTube. You'll read a book and there'll be, it says, battlefields of the mind, and it'll be full of truth, and then there'll be one deception, one lie. And that one lie is enough to unhinge everything that you've built, because it's a lie that will destroy. And it's the subtlety of the enemy. So did God really say? Look into God's word for yourselves. Find out what God says about a certain subject. If you're being challenged at this moment in time about attitudes, if you're being challenged about what you should do in a certain situation, if you're being challenged about how you should think in a certain situation, if you're being challenged by the world's precept, just because there's millions of people say that there's no such thing as sex, you can be fluid, does God say that? And I'm not here today to get into those subjects, but they're the reality that we're living in, where a man can say that he's a woman and a woman can say that they're a man. The reason I say that is because that's the reality of the world we live in. Did God really say? So rather than listen to my opinion or anyone else's opinion, however hard and difficult the answer might be, did God really say? And that will set you free from the stronghold that the enemy tries to put upon you. Your mind is a battlefield. The way you think is a battlefield. There's times that we become aggressive, isn't there? There's times that we get cross with circumstances and situations. I want to put it in perspective, because there are people that I've spoken to over the term of the ministry that God has blessed me with, that they really think that they've failed because they've got cross with somebody. They think they've failed because they've argued with their husbands and their wives and their children, and they've got nasty sometimes, or stroppy, whatever word you want to use. And they think, oh, I've failed. What does God say? What does God say? God says, keep short accounts. You see, you can't lose your salvation because you get angry with your wife or your children. But we can put it right. It becomes a stronghold when we think it doesn't matter. Because when we think it doesn't matter, then we stop becoming convicted by it. Then it becomes a lifestyle. That lifestyle then becomes a stronghold. And then the enemy can suddenly speak into that situation and make you captive to sin. Does that make sense? We're not slaves to sin, we're slaves to righteousness. We are not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. We are imperfect vessels looking for perfection in the end when we have our heavenly bodies. So I hope that helps somebody today. I hope that one statement there helps somebody today, that don't let the subtleties of the enemy tie you up and certain attitudes become strongholds, because you no longer have a conscience. Did God really say? Did God really say? When the enemy comes and tries to challenge you, did God really say? Whatever that may mean for you, did God really say? For me, I know that over these past few years, I've been really challenged about whether I should even stand here in front of you and speak from God's word. Did God really say? And the answer is, for me, yes. So whether it's good or not, God said. So you need to be as confident as I am in the call that I have. You need to be confident about what God has called you to do. So often we hear these things, don't we? Well, I believe God said I must do such and such. And then when it doesn't happen, instead of going back and saying, God, I'm really sorry, I didn't hear your word, and repenting of that, we just carry on as if nothing happened. God called me to leave that area and go to this area, and it didn't work out. Well, God doesn't get things wrong, does he? We should go back to God and say, God, if I heard you correctly, speak to me afresh, direct me and show me. But so often what happens is, it's our own desire, because we're not listening to God, we're listening to the enemy sometimes, when Did God really say you should stay at that church? Did God really say you should give your finances? Did God really say you should serve? Did God really say you should honor? Did God really say that you should forgive? Did God really say that? Look at what God's word says. Don't listen to what I say in that sense. Listen to what the truth of what I'm trying to say. But listen to what God says. Because the question is, did God say? That's what the enemy said. Did God say? The enemy didn't say, did Eve say? Or did Adam say? He says, did God say? Because when we bring God into it, it's either positive or negative. And the Bible says quite strongly that everything that's not done of faith is sin. So it's a strong message, isn't it? So we want to get this right. Did God really say? We are a battlefield of the mind. But it goes on to say that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. In verse 30, those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Did God really say that we'd be justified and glorified? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Remember, the mind is a battlefield. We need to take it captive and render it to God. When we look in John 3, start at verse 3, it says, now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a ruler. He was from the Jewish ruling council. He's a very articulate and very schooled individual. And when he's talking to Jesus about the kingdom to come, Jesus says to him, you must be born again. Excuse me. And he asked that question, how can I be born a second time? And this is important about that term, being born again. Because it means when we accept Jesus Christ, we're born of his spirit. Now, you know that. You know that. The reason I'm repeating it is this. It's to show you that if you are born of God's spirit and he lives in you, the enemy can't. That's why I'm bringing that particular portion of scripture. If God, through the presence of his Holy Spirit, is indwelt within us, then the enemy can't be. Because the Bible says that salt water and fresh water cannot flow from the same stream. You cannot be half full of God and half full of Satan. You're either fully possessed by the Spirit of God or you're fully possessed by the spirit of the enemy. And if you're a Christian, then you're fully possessed by God. But we are oppressed by the enemy. The enemy uses our weaknesses. Sometimes he uses our strengths by puffing us up, by causing us to fall through pride. And that's maybe for another day. Did God really say? So you are a child of God. You have been redeemed. You've been set free. In Galatians 5 verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So part of this spiritual warfare is that if we walk by the Spirit of God, listening and being guided by the Holy Spirit, being impacted by the Word of God, then we'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. And it's the flesh that we're at war with. But it's the flesh that we're at war with using the spiritual battles, not the natural battles. That's why we don't beat ourselves and cut ourselves. We use God's word. God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's a soothing balm. Did God really say? For flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. And this portion of scripture here shows us again that there's a battle going on with our earthly and our spiritual. You know, Paul puts it this way, doesn't he? He says, the things that I should do, the things that I know are right and holy and pure, I struggle with, he says. And the things that I know are wrong, I find easy. So I find at work in myself, these two opposing forces. It's a battle. It's a battle for the stronghold. But you belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. So in this time, let's be reminded that he is the answer to the question. But the subtle thing is this. Maybe you're experiencing a battlefield of your own at the moment. Maybe you're experiencing the enemy trying to tie you up and there's a stronghold in your life. Well, I want to help you by telling you that the word of God will break that stronghold. Did God really say? So to break that stronghold is yes. Should I stop this? If the Bible says you should, the answer is yes. And then once you follow what God says, you'll be set free from that. And the enemy will leave you alone. I'm going to just read a few more scriptures because I'm running out of time already. I can see we're nearly into 30 minutes and it seems like five. In verse, it talks about the conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. I'm going to actually read that again. Verse 17 of Galatians 5. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. There's a war. And the spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. There's a battle. They are in conflict with each other. It indicates the struggle. So that you are not to do whatever you want. This is quite strong here. Paul is really saying to the church here that you can't do what you want. It says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It's not about trying to obey a set of rules. It's about obeying the ruler, which is Jesus Christ. Did God really say that you can do that? Did God really say? The acts of the flesh are obvious. There's sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. It goes on and on and on. The enemy will come to you if you have fallen in any of these areas. Because we're in a battle. And the mind is a stronghold. You will be asked, did God really say? And if you've struggled in any of these areas that I've just spoken about here, the enemy will come along and say, who do you think you are? You thought you was a Christian. You've got it wrong. You've stuffed it up. That's it. Did God really say? Did God really say if you fall, he won't help you up? He didn't, did he? He said, confess your sin and I will forgive you your sin. So did God really say? The enemy's out for the battlefield of your mind. He's out to put you under captivity. And if he can control the things you think about yourself and the things you think about each other, then he controls lots of things in your life. So it's important, I believe, for us today to be mindful and reflect again on what God is saying to us through this. In John 8 verse 44. Strong words here. You belong to your father the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he was a liar and a deceiver from the beginning. I'll read this portion of scripture to tell you afresh the character of the evil one. He's a liar. He's out to lie and deceive and rob and steal. But he doesn't come with horns. He comes with a smile on his face. He comes in an appealing way because he masks around. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that a servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. My prayer for us is that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That during these few messages on spiritual warfare, we will understand that we belong to God. That we're covered by his blood. We've been purchased by his son. Now I know they're foundational things. But when the enemy comes along and he says to you, did God really say? I want you to be thoroughly equipped because all scripture is God breathed. So when we look into God's word, it will give us the answer. Providing we have a clear, open, spirit-filled point of view. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says this. Let's go up to 13. So 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, 14, and 15. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masking around as apostles of Christ. Now, masking around means they're pretending to be. So Paul is speaking here about the super apostles, those that are flamboyant, those that are larger than life, that are very confident in what they do. And he says, for such people are false apostles. That's why we need to actually find out what God's word says about God's people. They're false apostles, deceitful workers. And by saying deceitful workers, he's talking about workers who are masking around in God's vineyard. They're working in the church. They're deceitful workers, masking around, pretending to be apostles of Christ Jesus. They've got the right language. They've got the right look. They read the right books. They watch the right programs. They say the right things. And no wonder, for Satan himself, 14, masked around as an angel of light. It is not surprising then in verse 15 that if his servants also master around as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. So it shows us that when we're talking about the spiritual warfare, it's difficult sometimes to discern, isn't it? Now the Bible says that if you want to know if someone is in Christ, then they need to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. There are certain things that we can ask. There are certain things that we can do that qualifies us as Christians. To be born again, spirit-filled, means that we've repented and moved forward, accepting Christ as Saviour and Lord. So this is not about your salvation. This is not about me trying to say that you need to be saved or born again. This is about me saying to you as a spirit-filled Christian, if you want to discern in this battle that we're going on, if you want to be mindful, if you want to have the resources that are around you, you need to know your word. Because when someone says something, the enemy will say, did God really say? Well, you should be saying, yes, God did say. I was at the dinner table many, many years ago with a godly couple. I believed them to be Christians. They were godly people. But because of their background in a certain denomination that they were brought up in, they had certain fixed ideas that were not wrong within themselves, but they held them captive in bondage to certain things they had to wear on their heads and certain ceremonies they had to do from a legalistic standpoint. They were held captive in certain areas. And at the dinner table, I just made a comment and I said to this couple, I just find it incredible that I'm brothers with Christ. And the man looked at me and said, are you sure? And then I started to doubt myself. So he could have said, but he didn't. He could have said, did God really say that? And because I respected this man, I started to doubt. But because I respect God's word, I went back to it. And the Bible says this. It says that we're heirs and co-heirs with Christ. We've been adopted into his family. So if Jesus Christ is the Son of God and we're adopted into God's family, that makes me brother with Christ. Yes? Yes. Did God really say? So it's important to know our scripture, isn't it? Because if I'd have fell on that one point, every time someone in authority or who was maturer, so I thought, than me, said something that was contrary to what I thought the Bible said, I would be inclined to lean their way. And then that would become a stronghold. But you need to go back to the word of God yourself. So when anyone challenges you, did God really say that? Are you really supposed to do that? Are you really supposed to live that way? See what God says. And break that bondage that the enemy is trying to put us under. Just a couple more scriptures, or maybe one more. I'll finish on James. James 4 says this. What I want to say is, just to wrap this one session up, and like I said, they haven't got very far because of time, but we are in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. We are not to be fearful, we're just to be mindful. We just need to know that we are the victorious ones. As scripture says, we are more than conquerors. So you, put your name there. You're more than a conqueror. You may not feel like a conqueror, but it's not about what you feel, it's about what God has said. Did God really say you're more than conquerors? Do you belong to him? Yes? Well, you're more than a conqueror. Can you do this? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. How does he strengthen you? Through his word. Through prayer, through praise, through supplication. God speaks to you even when You don't realise he's speaking. James 4:7 gives us some really good advice. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So how do we resist the devil? It's okay saying we're in a battle, isn't it? But how do we have that confidence that we're going to be okay? What do we do? Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Keep him at arm's length. And he will flee from you. You tell him enough times, no, I belong to God. You tell him enough times, no, I'm not doing that. That's sinful. No, I want my mind to be renewed by the word of God, to be washed by his word. It says in verse 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinful, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's talking about having clean hands and a pure heart. Well, that's what we have. So when the enemy comes along to rob, steal, and destroy, and to say to you, when you're trying to do something, did God really say? Rather than answer, look at what God did say, and then answer. And I will guarantee you, I don't guarantee many things, but I'll guarantee you this. As we resist the devil and we submit to God, he will flee from us. And life will be easier in that particular area. Before I go, may I just pray with you? Because if you have a stronghold, now there are many things, and it's easy to pick on something that's obvious. So if you're a heavy drinker or you're a heavy smoker, it's easy for us to pick on that. But it might be that we have attitudes. It might be that we're resentful. It might be that we get angry very quickly. It might be that we find ourselves in lots of different circumstances that we'd rather not be in. But no one sees that. So whether it's the alcoholism, whether it's pornography, whether it's addiction, whether it's an attitude, let's just give those things to God right now. As a church, as individuals, let's pray and believe God's word is true. So you know your circumstance, you know your situation. I haven't got any great revelation on that. All I know is that we are sinful people who serve a God of grace, and he chooses to forgive us and remember our sins no more. So, Father God, we thank you today that we belong to you. We thank you, Lord, that even though we're in a battle, the battle belongs to you. Father, I thank you that you've called me a conqueror, not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. I thank you, Father God, that you did say that when I am saved, I've been set free and you indwell me. Father, I thank you that you cover me by your blood and you enable me through your word. Reveal to me this week, Father, any stronghold that the enemy may be trying to get a foothold in, that I may resist him and come close to you. Help me, Lord, in this. Reveal to me, Father God, any actions or reactions that I need to change. Thank you, Lord, that I belong to you and that, Father God, that I'm covered by your grace. Help me this week, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.